So it's Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, "When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." And the second reading is from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak."
You know that spiritual warfare is all to do with principalities and powers of the air. Okay, mark that. Technology isn't fail-safe, as we all know. Yeah, let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your precious word given to us, to instruct us, to show us the way we should walk, to give us joy as we go, Lord, and to strengthen us with bread from heaven, to enlighten our eyes and our understanding of who you are, who we are, and what the whole purpose of life is about. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you you're here with us, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, you've been speaking to us, and Lord, thank you. You will continue to do that, Lord, as we study together in your precious word. Amen. Yeah. Okay, so we'll begin in Joshua. This is part two of the talk I was giving a few weeks ago, and we're continuing with the subject of spiritual warfare. And I'll try to just give you some pointers as to things that have helped me in my own walk with the Lord, and in places near, places far. Because wherever we go, we want to know that God is with us. And to be honest, there's nowhere we can go in this world where God isn't. He is everywhere. "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" says the Lord. In that wonderful verse near that one we sang, "Our Lord God, or thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee." And the Lord, in very, very close to that verse, he says, "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" In other words, God is never far from us. And we can have a personal relationship with him by the Holy Spirit when we yield our hearts to him. And this is what Joshua, this passage from Joshua, I believe, is about. Joshua is a very interesting person. He was chosen to be the leader of the Israelite army as they went into the land. Now the army is very interesting when you read about how Israel became an army, because you don't actually read about how they became an army. We read somewhere in the books of Moses that when they came out of Egypt, they came out in ordered ranks. They didn't come out as a rabble. And so they're roughly around 2 million people altogether. So to come out by ordered ranks was a supernatural work of God. They came out, some translations say they came out as an army. And God made them an army. And God makes warriors, soldiers, and an army of his church. Because we are in the setting of the cosmic powers that are the rulers of this present darkness. God is over all, and the powers that are at work in this world to do evil and to cause suffering and cause people to have very unhappy lives, those powers are very real. We know some things about them. We don't know a tremendous amount, and that's good. God doesn't want us to know a lot about them. But what he does want us to know, that God is over all. Christ is over all. On the victory, on the cross of Calvary, Christ won the victory over all principalities and powers, and we'll see that in a little while in the reading in Ephesians. But first of all, let's have a quick look at Joshua and a little about his background. He was a man who liked to be in church. If you go to Exodus 33 and verse 11, we'll skip through quite a few verses here. Don't worry if you haven't got a Bible or a phone with the Bible on with you. We'll try and just refer briefly to them. So, Exodus 33 and verse 11. Moses has set up a tent outside the camp. Now, this isn't the tabernacle where the offerings and sacrifices were made. This is a particular tent, separate tent, that Moses set up outside the camp so he could go and seek God and anybody else could join him. And we read in 33:11, and Moses spoke, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again into the camp. He had work to do in the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. In other words, he liked to be where God was. And there was something that drew his heart to that place. And in that place, he began to seek God. And there is something we heard earlier from the Lord through a word of prophecy that was given, that God has put something in our hearts that draws our hearts to him. That something is a hidden thing. It's in the depths of our being. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. But it's the Lord who lights the candle. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, in our human spirit, there is something that God does to begin to draw our hearts to him. And every one of us, every single one of us, has to have that in our heart, that drawing in our hearts from God in order to find him. It's something that God initiates, that God does, and it brings us into a place with God. And I'm looking for a verse in Zechariah which says, basically, the Lord who formed the heavens and the earth also formed the spirit of a man or woman within them. He is the one who creates us. He is the one who calls us into being. And we land in this world as in a tiny parcel. And there was one at Kiko this week. Gorgeous little Luca. And we land it as a tiny parcel, knowing nothing, knowing not where we've come from or where we're going. And here we are. And as we begin to grow, we come into consciousness, and then we come into our adult years. And God is watching over our lives. God is watching over us. And he's waiting for that moment when that something stirs in us that brings us to him. And I don't know if you're in the place where God is doing that in you. I always think it's actually not something we should be praying in a group, in a congregation, that we are all believers here, Lord. Because I was in a congregation for many years, and I was not the Lord's. I did not belong to God. I was far off from him, even though I was in the stones of the building, within the building that had his name over it. And there were lots of good things going on there, and I loved it, and I loved the dressing up and everything else that went with it, and the stained glass and all that sort of stuff. But my heart and God were strangers to each other. And that went on for quite a long time. And then I went to another church in another place, and I heard the voice of God speak to me to tell me that I was a sinner, and the reason I didn't know him was because of this great wall of sin in my life that kept him out, and that he had removed that wall by Jesus dying for my sins on the cross of Calvary. And what I needed to do was simply to kneel down and thank him for doing that and surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And I thank God he enabled me to do that quite a long time ago. And I knew from that day onwards, firstly, I knew forgiveness of sins. Wow, God has forgiven all my sins. That's the wonderful revelation that comes. That was the first thing, the feeling of being clean. The second thing was the peace of God that filled my heart and just stayed with me and has stayed with me every single day of my life since then. Unless I was walking out of the will of the Lord, in which case the peace went, and that was a good guide to say, come back here, son, you've wandered away. And then the wonderful sense of the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit being with me day by day, being with me and Ruth in our life in Asia, and all the things we went through there, knowing that God is for us and he's not against us, and that he's done everything to bring us to himself. Oh, what an amazing God we have. What an amazing God we have. And there was something stirring in Joshua. I believe everybody has to come this way. We all have to come this way. And it's a humbling way. It's a self-humbling way. Jesus said, I am the door. And the door means we have to get down very low to find Jesus. We have to get down very low and say, Lord, I can't do it myself. I can't save myself. I can't wash my own sins away. I need you to come and be my Savior and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And when we do that, the Lord comes, because he hears us. He's everywhere. He hears the cry of our hearts. Glory to his wonderful name. So here we are. Joshua he's been in church and he's seeking God. And then in this wonderful moment that we heard read to us, he meets the commander in chief. Now he's been chosen for this task. He's had hands laid on him by Moses. That means a special appointment by God for a particular task in that particular instance. And here he is, and he's ready to go into battle. But he's got to learn some serious things from God. And that's the first thing is, know your commander. We've got to know our commander. Who is he? So here he is, and he's by Jericho. The battle for the land is about to commence. And suddenly there's this mysterious figure appears. And Christ is a mysterious figure. He's like the wind. He comes and he stirs the leaves of our hearts. And he blows like the wind into our lives, and he comes, but he's not like the wind in that he goes. This morning the wind was blowing in the trees, oh, a lovely sound, but then it went quiet again. Christ isn't like that. He comes like the wind, but then he comes forever. Hallelujah. When he gives us, when he comes into our life by the Holy Spirit, he comes in forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's this mysterious figure, and Joshua says, are you for us or for our adversaries? He was being very courageous. That was a good thing, wasn't it? God had said to him earlier on, be very courageous. Yeah? So here he was, being very courageous. Okay, I've got my sword in my hand. Who's this person here? And then the word comes, as commander of the Lord's host have I come. This is our commander-in-chief, glory to his wonderful name. And it was Jesus appearing to him. You know the word Joshua comes from the word Yeshua, which means salvation. Yeshua comes from Yehoshua, which is the name that Moses gave to Joshua earlier on. Yehoshua means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is the name that the Israelites were given before they knew the name of Jesus. Jesus. But the name of Jesus was here already in Joshua, Yeshua. And his name means salvation. And Yeshua means God is salvation. So here was God coming to Joshua and saying, look, Joshua, you've got to learn something. And what did he have to learn? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose your shoe from off your foot to show respect. That happens in the east still. You take your shoes off before you enter somebody's house, for the place whereon you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So the first thing we have to learn in this respect of knowing our commander is that we worship him. We get before him. We wait on him. We wait on him in prayer. We wait on him in worship. We wait on him in thanksgiving. Praise God, we were able to do that as a church this last week, 4 special evenings when we waited on God as we were able to come. And the Spirit of the Lord was here. And the Lord promises, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And as we waited in the presence of the Lord, our hearts were refreshed in him. Hallelujah. So here's the commander-in-chief. What does the commander-in-chief have to say to you and me? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 2. And Paul is giving some instructions to a young man who loves the Lord and he loves his church, as we heard already this morning. And Paul's saying to him, now look, Timothy, you've got to commit some things to faithful men who will listen to you, and then they'll pass them on to other men, and so on and so on. And praise God, that's been happening for generation after generation after generation, 2,000 years. This has been happening. What we are doing here isn't something that came down yesterday. It's God's doing, and marvelous in our eyes. I was reading a book about Vindolanda. Anybody here been to Vindolanda? It's near Hexham in Yorkshire. Great place. It's the remains of a Roman town. And it's got some brilliant stuff there. You could go and it's right next to Hadrian's Wall. So it was a garrison town. Probably the oldest church in this country is located in Vindolanda. So 3rd, 4th century, there was a church. The Lord was being worshipped on these shores. Isn't that amazing? And the 3rd or 4th century. I find that absolutely mind-boggling. In the 8th century, Christians were going from here, mainly from Northumberland and East Anglia, on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And, and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, won't go there. What does Paul say to Timothy? This is much more interesting. Thou therefore, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, you've got to be prepared just to live disentangled from the world. Disentangled. Not get meshed up, not get tangled up in stuff that will restrain your spiritual life, that will hamper you in growing in God. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, we've got to be prepared for hardness, endurance. These are words that Roman soldiers certainly knew. And this is something that we have to know as soldiers of Christ, that we don't get entangled with stuff that we don't need to get bogged down with. You know, we don't need to go to, I don't know. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you if there's anything there that you might be getting bogged down with. In my life, long time ago, and still is, it was books. I love books, as you know. I had a lot of books at home, and I was so proud of my books. Anyway, I invited a Christian friend who was a senior brother in the Lord to come and look at my books, and had a good look and had lots of Christian books there. And then he said, there's maybe some books there you shouldn't have on your shelves. Oh, well, that was a word. That kind of went in there because I love my books. And there are two things there. First, did I love my books more than I love God? Well, that's a question I had to answer. Secondly, I had to go through the shelves and see, there's that one, and there's that one, and that one. And what did God say to me? He said, go and burn them on the bonfire. So I went and burned them on the bonfire. I did the same with my collection of LPs. LPs in those days. Okay, long time ago. Most of them went to the local hospital for their radio station. But there was one, and God said, smash that one. And it had a certain group on it who were singing the praises of the devil. So anyway, that one went in the bin. So are there things that maybe are keeping us from getting closer to God? That's the question. And sometimes it's our pride. Sometimes it's hard to kind of give up your time, maybe. Maybe you think, sometimes we've got to give more time to the Lord. Sometimes we've got to give more time to his word. Joshua, bless him. He was a man who gave time to God's word. Do you remember? If we go back to Joshua just for a second, chapter 1 and verse 8, that wonderful verse that many of us memorize, when the Lord said to him, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This is Joshua 1 verse 8. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. True prosperity comes from the word of God. And then you shall have good success. Okay, so the first thing in Joshua's life was to meditate on the word of God. Is that the first thing in your life and mine? Do we give time for this? Is it the first thing? We can come before God and say, great, oh Lord, I love your word. It's my meditation all the day, like in Psalm 119. Praise God when God gives us that love for his word. But in this word, why did God say that to him? Well, because it was stashed full with the promises of God. And God wants us to make use of his promises. He doesn't say things for no reason. It ain't been in vain for nothing, as the lady said in that famous film. God doesn't speak for no reason. He speaks to give us stuff that he wants you and me to lay hold of, that will be promises we can build our lives on. And know that God is with us. I'm an absolute certainty. Okay, go to the end of Joshua 24. Joshua 24. And he's gathered all Israel. He's about to go off to glory. And he says this. 23. Joshua 23:14. He tells them he's going off to glory. And then he says this. You know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Not one thing failed. God promised things, God did them, and boy, should they be thankful for it. Sadly we know that after Joshua and that generation passed away, the people weren't thankful, but that's another story. But here we are, God comes and he gives us his word. And you remember, of course, thinking about spiritual warfare. When Jesus Christ was face to face with Satan in the wilderness, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Very important words. Because what God says lasts forever. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 4. In the word of a king there is power. There is power in the word of God to effect things in our lives. You remember that when the devil tempted the Lord, he said, if you're the Son of God, make these stones bread. And the Lord had fasted for 40 days, so he's really hungry. But that was a temptation for him to use his power for his own self instead of coming to serve us with salvation, which is why he came. And so the Lord said, no, man shall not live by bread alone or by the phone alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God can bring life into our hearts. And then the devil said, gave another temptation. He said, look, you know, the word of God says this. He says, look, jump down off this temple here. It was 400 feet high, by the way. Jump down off here because God will look after you when you jump. And the Lord, and the devil quoted scripture. Do you know where he quoted from? Psalm 91. He shall give his angels charge over you. Verse 12. But he didn't quote verse 13. The devil is very selective in the scripture that he quotes. Okay, verse 13 says, thou shalt tread on the cobra and the lion. You shall tread underfoot. It's a spiritual promise given to Israel that their spiritual foes would be trodden under their feet. Hallelujah. So here we are, Joshua going... going on with God. The second thing is we need to know our commander in chief. We need to know that we are chosen and that we have to live disentangled. There's a lovely verse in Philippians that says, Paul says to them, I'm here for your progress in the faith, for your furtherance in the faith. And that word literally means, I'm here to help you hack a way through. I'm here to help you hack a way through. Do you ever feel like, I can't hack this? If you've been in a tropical country, you know that the things grow. It's a hothouse. It's a greenhouse. And stuff grows so fast. Even in Morton, stuff grows fast and you have to keep hacking it away. But I tell you, in Cambodia and Southeast Asia, stuff grows so fast. If you have to hack down your back garden, literally, with a machete. So God says this, hack your way through. And Paul says this to Philippians, I'm here to help you hack your way through. Sometimes we have to take a machete and actually hack stuff out of the way so that we can go on with God and be and grow in him. Because spiritual warfare is in the context. Paul says, I want you all to grow up in Christ. I want you all to know your standing in Christ. I want you to know your commander-in-chief. I want you to know his victory. I want you to know that he has put you in him so that you partake of his victory. I want you to know that we are all seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Hallelujah. By the Holy Spirit. Which is a mind-blowing thing, isn't it? One more thing I want to say about the Word of God just before we leave that. The Word of God is the most incredible storehouse of God's promises. It's a treasury, but it's encrypted. It's encrypted. Know what? How is it encrypted? It's encrypted by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can unlock the treasures of Christ for us. Only the Holy Spirit can show us how to fight. There was a tremendous battle that took place in Israel, and the enemies were so many, they were going to overwhelm everybody and everything. And the king at that time went to God, and he declared a day of prayer and fasting for the nation, and they came before God, and they waited on God, and they said, Lord, these enemies are too many for us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are unto thee. Our eyes are unto thee. And as we think about spiritual warfare, the first and foremost thing is that we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I want to go to Ephesians now, just for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's the reality. We are at rest in him there. When Jehoshaphat fought that battle, the Lord said to him, "This is not your battle. Stand still and see the victory of the Lord. You will not need to fight in this battle." And this is the wonder of our the reality of our position in Christ, because in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. "Finally, my brethren," meaning summing up everything that I've said, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In other words, he is our mighty resource. "Put on or receive the whole armor of God." This is God's armor. It's written in Isaiah. We might go there in a moment if we have time. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil." And in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "We are not ignorant of his devices." We are not ignorant of the devil's strategies. What are those strategies? Well, firstly, we need God's armor to stand. We need God's, the helmet of God's salvation to protect our minds. Because the battlefield of this world is a battlefield of the mind. And there are battles that we are called to fight, where we really have to exercise our minds and to know that what God has done in Christ Jesus is an absolutely cast iron salvation. There is no loophole. There is no way in for the devil to affect your salvation or mine. God has done in Christ the absolute total sum and total of everything that needed to be done to secure the redemption of all mankind. And by the shedding of his blood on the cross, Jesus Christ made a way for you and I to be forgiven and to receive God's life and to have access into the very presence of God, which we do through praying and waiting on him. Paul says here in verse 12, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places." These are the unseen powers that rule over the hearts of men who are not, who have not surrendered to Jesus Christ. And that's the awful state. There is no middle ground in that sense. We are either in the camp of the Lord Jesus, in the camp of the King, or else we are subject to the temptations and the powers that are beyond our human understanding. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." This is the old church fathers said, this is putting on Christ. Put on Christ. The baptism in the Spirit was called putting on the whole armor so that you can stand. Having your loins girt about with truth, that's having truth in the core of our being. And when Jesus is in our hearts, truth is in the core. Having on the breastplate of faith and love, which is the breastplate of righteousness. That's in Thessalonians. And having shoes on your feet that are ready to take you somewhere to share the gospel or to take that opportunity that comes or may come tomorrow. Above all, take the large shield of faith that was covered in leather, that was soaked in water, so that when the flaming arrows came over from the enemy, they hit the soaked leather and were extinguished. We need to be soaked in the Holy Spirit, dear ones, don't we? Soaked in the Word of God, soaked in the Holy Spirit. Having our hearts open to Jesus, having our eyes focused on Jesus, fixed on him from day to day through all the plethora of the mundane events that go on. And the mundane events are often the things that take our eyes off Jesus, aren't they? But God says, okay, let your eyes be fixed. Let your eyes be fixed on Jesus. And this large shield of faith was great in two ways for the Romans. Firstly, for their own personal protection. We need to have that trust in the Lord, that simple trust that even when things don't go according to plan, God still loves us. His love is unchanging. His love is full and free like a river. His love flows on full and free like a river. Hallelujah. So for our own personal protection, for the protection of our own mind, our own hearts, and if we are tempted to be anxious, just go to the great chapter 4 of Philippians. Have no anxiety about anything, but throw it all on Jesus. And the peace of God will keep your heart and mind as with a garrison, protecting your heart and mind against all the attacks of the enemy. And then together, you know, the Romans had this formation called the turtle, where they put their shields. There were men on the side with the shield upright, right side, left side. There were men who had shields at the front. And there were the men who had the shields over their heads. And they could move forward against the enemy, attack an enemy army like they called it the turtle. And it was like a tank. And they went through. Hallelujah. And that's what churches are for. The church is for going like a tank through the gates of hell. Cambodia was called a gate of hell. The national symbol of Cambodia is the cobra. You see it everywhere. Because they believe their nation was founded by a giant serpent. And there are things that have gone on in Cambodia that are a result of that. But here we are. And what is this armor for? Take it all for prayer. Okay, take it all. Praying. Take it all. Praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All. Okay, it's a great verse to study, that one. God's alls. Everyone is included. No one is excluded from the salvation of Christ. And when we put our trust in Him, we are immediately, instantaneously transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. By the power of God, which is a miracle that only God can do. Glory to His wonderful name. Are you His this morning? Do you belong to Him? Do you know that the Word of God is full of promises for you? And that God wants you in His everlasting kingdom? Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Oh, these are just touching, these are the edges of His ways. These are just touching the fringes of things. And we need God by the Holy Spirit to come and teach us so much more. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I have to stop there. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray. And one more thing that Joshua did was he sang the song of Moses along with Moses. And I think it'd be good if we sing the song, "Oh, come, let us adore Him," before we close.